What's up, everybody? We're here with Rich from Layton Sports Cards. Another episode of the Mojo Sessions. We're going to talk some national. We're going to talk some stuff back in the day because we're OGs. And Rich is a great friend of mine, been a friend for the man. We talk like once a week for the last 10 years. And I'm just happy to have him on the show. Rich, what's going on, man?
How you doing, guys? Doug, thanks for having me on. Super excited to be here, buddy. Like you said, I mean, we talk all the time, man. So
yep,
it should be a fun one.
Yeah, I mean, some people think that we're like, you know, trying to, you know, knock each other down, but the breaking community is always about helping each other, man, right? I mean, it's always about sharing info and trying to make everybody's experience better.
Absolutely. I mean, I remember I sent you an email in 2012, late 2012, when right before we actually built the first website and started to get into breaking. And that was like the first kind of line of communication between us.
Yeah.
And you kind of explained to me that, you know, how important it was to get a distributor and how to get a business license. And, you know, I remember, you know, some of our early emails were about, you know, where to get bubble mailers.
Right.
I mean, we were, this is 2013, you know, we're going to Walmart and,
Staples. We were too. Yep.
And we were going there and cleaning out their shelves for bubble mailers and bubble wrap and packing tape. And we didn't know, you know, we were just kind of doing everything we could to get by back then, you know?
Yeah. And I remember that I noticed you had like a WordPress WooCommerce website. And I'm like, I was so frustrated at the time too. So I'm like, I need to make some allies to help me like figure out this website. Cause it was just like, you know, it was beyond me. It was like space math at the time. So it was a lot of frustration. So I was like, this guy has the same website as me. Basically, we're all using WordPress WooCommerce. So let's figure it out.
And it's so getting WooCommerce set up initially, I mean, years ago.
Yeah.
And that was so much work. That was so hard to do.
Yeah, exactly. I was there was a lot of like you know, things being punched and thrown and not quite understanding how it works.
Yeah. Figuring out variations, how to upload sets of variations for pick your team style breaks and getting them to save within the variation or within the product and like and then duplicating it. I still have issues with that to this day.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I do too. And it's because like you try to talk to somebody, they're like, what do you mean you want one stock of 32 items? They're all, why do you have one stock of 32 items? I don't understand. And they're like, well, we're selling teams in one break, you know. They built variations to sell shirts of like 200 quantity of XL, right? Not to sell one item at all the time. So that was a huge challenge. I'm glad you brought that up, trying to learn and navigate through that and figure out how we're going to put variations in variables. That was very fun.
To this day I'm still learning the website.
Only
in time that I'm finally like fully comfortable and confident in like doing things to the back end of the website. But now it's, you know, now we're working on new website and we're working on, you know, apps and different designs and this, that, and the other thing, only, you know, to have to learn a whole new set of things now. It's nonstop. You know how it is.
Absolutely. Well, you're going to be at the National this year, 2021 National. We took a year off from going to the National, so it's going to be great to see everybody. How excited are you for that, man?
Super excited. Obviously, the last over a year now, it's a year and a half with the, you know, with all the craziness that's been going down out there. And the, I guess, as you guys called it on the hype, the pandy, I think you guys have been referring to.
Yeah. Use it as a keyword. Yeah.
Yeah. That good old pandy, man. That man, to kind of come out of the end of this, I'm not saying it's over or anything like that, but at least, you know, we're at a point now where we can kind of get out and leave our homes and leave our shops and get together in some sort of normalcy.
Right.
Really excited for that, man. You know, I haven't seen you guys and God, it feels like it's been over a couple of years now, right?
I guess I think it was either the 19 National, because I don't think you went to the Griffey thing, right? So I think that was
it'd have been the industry conference, the tops conference.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
February of 2020? That was right before everything shut down.
Yep. Yep, because I was there, and then I was back in the, Arizona for the Griffey thing. So it was the last two times I even traveled.
Right. We didn't go to the Griffey thing because we had we did a Panini break in Tampa.
That's right.
For spring training.
Right.
So we split to go to the spring training thing. You guys went out to Arizona, and that was, a year and five months ago.
I remember seeing your guys' engraved cups there. I was like, they're not here, but your engraved cups are there. So they had your names on them. So hopefully you guys got those, by the way.
I think somebody
picked those up for you. Okay, cool.
I might have them actually right behind me in the new bar area. But we're really excited for the National. We're actually breaking this year.
Nice.
The last time we were at a National, we kind of used it just as a promotional situation and handed out T-shirts. And we handed out like pens and different swag items. And we broadcast the live breaks from our shop on two monitors that were up behind us the entire time. So we basically just live streamed the breaks and talked about the breaks, got people to sign up for different things and subscribe to channels and whatnot. So this year, we have a crew of 12 people.
Jeez.
Going this year to break and to ship and to sort and to say hello to people and everything else. So yeah, just about the full crew. I think two employees of ours aren't going, but 12 people total are going.
Nice. Have any crazy breaks planned yet?
Nothing yet. It's so early. I barely know what we're going to do Monday and Tuesday this coming week.
True.
Excuse me. But
I remember I joined, I think it was a fun break, man. I think it was 10 cases of National Treasures baseball or something like that. Maybe it was five. It seemed like a lot at the time. And I got the Dodgers and I got like Jackie Robinson stuff. It was awesome. Nice. It was like tiered or something. So
I remember that one. That was a fun break. We always have something crazy planned for our National breaks. When we do National breaks, we'll have some big promotion. We'll do some crazy giveaways and promos for people that join the breaks. And then, of course, you know, we always have some kind of special break lined up, whether it be, you know, multiple cases of Flawless or National Treasures or high-end top stuff like Sterling or, you know, whatever it might be. It all depends right now on, you know, is Panini going to do a VIP party?
Right.
Are they going to do it?
Everybody's wondering that question. Yeah. What do we have to buy?
Nobody knows. I haven't heard a yes. I haven't heard a no. I've only heard maybes out of a lot of different people.
We're all going to be breaking NASCAR. Sounds like probably there.
I'm sure they're, you know, they've got to have some kind of stock available to do something. I imagine or not, I could be wrong. I hope they do. Some of our, as you very well know, some of our best memories and most fun times that I've had in the last 10 years of my life have occurred at either a National or a VIP party or something tied to one of those events, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's always a good time. Always some interesting stuff going down, whether it be Allen Iverson running into a building with, you know, a whole crew, entourage of people. Or I think Dan ran into Lawrence Taylor, who told him he didn't like playing. He wasn't really into watching football. So it's, you know, it's always nice.
He still has my lighter, by the way, Lawrence Taylor.
Oh, he does. Nice. Because he had a Stogie, right?
Yeah. Borrowed my lighter, never gave it back. And then I realized he hadn't given it back. And my nephew, Brad, Breaking Brad, as you all know, he says, go get it. I'm like, No, he can keep it.
Have you seen what happened to Theismann? No.
Right?
I need these hands. I got to break, right? I mean, I can't get my arm broken by Lawrence Taylor, so he can keep it.
I'm excited to see what happens with the VIP party. I'm excited to see the turnout of people.
Do you think it's going to be the biggest attended events in the national history?
Has to be. I don't even know that the hype around the market, whether it be up or down or left or right or whatever, I don't even think that matters to the turnout at this point. I think it's just excitement to get to a giant show of that stature, you know what I mean? Of that size and of that importance. There's a lot of collectors that only see each other at the Nationals and you know, are only able to hang out with one another at big shows like that. So I think it becomes super important on a lot of different levels for a lot of different people.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's take it back when you guys got started. What was the inspiration of starting Latent Sports Cards? I know it could be a long story.
Yeah, I mean, it all kind of started with Sarah, my wife, coming home one day from work. This is when I had, at the time I was building homes, and kind of doing like odd jobs for people and carpentry work and everything else. And, I had fallen off a ladder and busted my ankle, and I was really banged up. I was off my feet. And then I had my birthday on December 12th. So I, you know, I was in bad shape, and then my birthday hits, and then our cat died. Our family pet had died. And this is all in like a 3-day, 4-day span or whatever it was. So I break my ankle, can't walk. I'm in this giant walking cast thing, in lots of pain, have my birthday, cat passes away. And then Sarah's like, I guess she kind of felt bad and comes home with a box of Topps. And I opened the box, and that was it. It took me online. There was a natural progression of things at that point. I collected my entire life as a kid.
Had you been collecting up to that point, or did you like take a break and that was like a reintroduction?
I stopped collecting probably around age 14 or so, 15 maybe, somewhere around there, right about high school, ninth grade, something around there. I stopped collecting at that point, and then I didn't even think about cards and again until much later, probably 2011, 2012 at that point. Open a box of cards, takes me on YouTube and Google. I start.
Was that the year with the where you could get the cards on Topps, where you go on the 2000, I think it was 2011, right? Where you go on there and it was like the 60 year, and then you could get some cards by putting in the code.
Yeah.
That was huge.
They had the diamond parallels.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
The famous, I mean, out of update, it wasn't a box of update. I think it was series 2 or whatever, but, I mean, you know, the famous Trout Rookies came out of update that year, with the diamond parallel, the cognac parallel of the diamond anniversaries and everything else. Really cool design, cool cards. I think we hit a relic card of like Chris Sale, and I think maybe we hit an auto of like Freddie Freeman or somebody like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty good out of a retail blaster, right?
Yeah. Somewhere around I'm pretty sure that's who it was. I can't remember for sure. Took me online. I went on to search for price guides because, I mean, from being a kid,
that's what you know of.
That's what you went off of, what my cards were worth. Mm-hmm. I went to find a Beckett. I tried to search like different things online. And then next thing I know, I see a link for Blog TV.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. And that put me into the wonderful world of box breaks. I saw, you know, at that point, man, I saw at the time it was the Truth 17.
Yep.
I saw Mojo Break. I saw, there were a few other guys.
RBI was on there, but he wasn't doing breaks.
Probably, yeah. Yeah.
Ryan.
Card Collector X. I remember him. He was one of the first on Blog TV. And Boomo.
Yep.
And there's a bunch of guys on there. Live Case Break, man. Those guys had tons of people in their room, tons of people, and the chat was flying, and they were ripping boxes the entire time, and everybody's hooting and hollering and having all this fun. And at one point, I think Brad Ziegler came on the live feed and started like ripping Triple Threads boxes and cases from like 2012 or 2011.
Yeah, they definitely marketed very well back in those days. It's like everywhere you turned, you've seen their logo or their name.
Yeah, and I mean, one thing led to another. I started watching you guys. I started watching Chad from Firehand and True 17. Started watching YouTube videos of Chris Justice and Cards Infinity. I kind of just thought to myself, you know, this is something I know I would absolutely love to do. I feel like I'd be okay at it, and maybe, you know, I could collect this way and kind of turn it into a new method of collecting for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought it'd just be kind of a fun way of doing things and maybe, you know, maybe make a couple dollars here and there if I was lucky.
Right.
Little did I know, man. Little did I know what it was going to turn into.
For those out there that don't know what Blog TV is, it was like a rundown YouTube, I guess, would be my best way to describe it. I mean, it's also pioneered where we are today, so you can't forget its importance. But if you had to explain Blog TV in one word, what would it be?
Insanity.
That's a good way to put it.
Oh, utter insanity. It was, yeah, I mean, that's where I learned. I mean, I didn't have much experience with like chat rooms and live streaming at all. I had no experience at it. So to see it, you know, to see people not only opening boxes, which I thought was awesome, and then streaming it, but to see the interaction with the chat rooms and everything else going on at the same time, I thought was amazing. Yeah. It was like a new method of not only collecting, but it was a new method of communicating to different people all at the same time. For me, it was all new.
Now, when you were getting ready for your first couple breaks, if you can remember, was there like, did you have a lot of nervousness or were you just like, I'm ready to go?
So I took a page out of your guys' book. I totally copied off of you. Totally copied off of you.
Wow, you guys, surprising, because our feed looked like crap back then.
Mine too, obviously. But you guys had this cardboard cutout.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like poster board, and you had all this stuff like kind of glued to it and like pictures of cards and like
picture fifth grade logo. Science project. If you're out there, fifth grade science project. Yeah. Yes.
And it was awesome. I just thought it was the coolest thing. I really did. I thought it was super cool that you guys like you personalized the feed. It wasn't just a banner or it wasn't just this like, you know, a blank wall behind you or whatever, you know, whatever everybody was using back then. I just thought it was really cool that you guys took the time to kind of, you know, to put a personal touch on things. And that hit home with me, that you could put a lot of yourself into the breaks, that it didn't just have to be, you know, here's another card, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And this redundant, boring, monotone thing. You guys were like screaming out and getting excited and, you know, showing off these big hits and everything else. And I was like, man, this looks like so much fun.
Yeah.
And I gravitated towards it. I was immediately blown away by it. Not to get sidetracked there, but I made this little cutout. I printed it off of a laser jet printer of a logo that we kind of worked on for probably an hour, and focus groups or anything involved in it. we took this little piece of paper, put it on like a cardboard thing, and we hung up some jerseys on my closet door in a back bedroom.
Oh, I do remember that. I remember that. Yeah.
And then we put the little,
I think it was a Red Sox. There was a Red Sox jersey or two in there, right?
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Yeah.
And we hung up jerseys and kind of had that as like our backdrop and had just one singular horrible, horrible low grade camera angle pointed down at this table that shook. The table was the shakiest table you could imagine. We just touched it and the whole table shook.
It was like one. It was like missing a leg or something.
Exactly. It was horrible. It was this four-legged card table and it just shook incessantly. I was terrified. So my hands were shaking. You know, I was still super new to kind of being reintroduced into the hobby. So, you know, I'm opening boxes of like 2011 or 2012 Bowman. Chrome and Bowman hobby and stuff, just single boxers.
You ripping 2011 Crown Royale, or it might have been 2012 or something.
Yeah,
like
2011 football. Crown football.
Yeah,
that was one of our first breaks too. We're doing just one box at a time, even sometimes like a couple packs.
Right.
I probably gave away enough spots to where I was just losing on every break. You know.
Right. Right.
But I was still working, you know what I mean? I still had, you know, side jobs I was doing. We had no money, believe me. We were eating ramen noodles every night and we were struggling to get by at these times. And, you know, we're in a tiny apartment and, you know, we just thought that this maybe would turn into something that we could turn into just a fun side thing, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Side income. That's all it was ever meant to be.
Side hustle. Side yeah. hustle, they call it.
Not even a hustle. Just
fun. Yeah.
A hobby, you know? I had no hobbies at the time. You know, I was really, you know, I was in a pretty dark place there for a while after getting hurt. And, you know, I lost out on a lot of work and I, you know, our income dropped to next to nothing. And, you know, it was a tough time back then. So this was kind of, you know, something positive at the time sure. that came out of yeah. it, you know, and it definitely changed things immediately for me. I started talking to people. I started meeting people. I started sending you guys emails and Chris Justice yeah. I reached out to a couple times back then. And, you know, I really started my best to try to network through a lot of different, you know, breakers and card shops and everybody back then. I remember this a great story, man.
Absolutely. There was I was going to say, you remember where you got your first boxes from? Because it wasn't from a distributor,
yeah.
right?
So, yeah, there was a card shop down the street from us. It was in the back of a gift shop. So it was like all Hallmark cards and like scented candles and things like that. It was interesting. And like keepsakes. It was in the strip mall down right down the street from where I lived in North Cape May in New Jersey. So in the back of this shop, he had like just a wall of wax. Okay. It was, I mean, it was a little bit overpriced, but he kind of just would stand there. He wouldn't really talk to anybody, you know?
Yeah. Not very personable.
Yeah. I didn't know anything of what was good or what wasn't good, you know? So I tried to do as much research as I could. As you know, back then there wasn't a ton of information online yet.
No,
so you couldn't just hop on and check this and check that. You had to dig pretty deep and yep. kind of ask a lot of different people in the hobby. Hey, is this worth getting? What am I chasing in this? You know what I mean?
Yep.
So
yep.
I used to go down there and then I'd buy a box here. I'd buy a box there. I'd bring it home. I'd literally take whatever I paid for the box and just split it up even across X amount of spots. And that's how we did things. It worked there for a little while and people were getting into it and more it grew, the more product I needed. So I went down to the card shop one day and I said, hey man, you know, I mean, I could come in here and kind of just live stream from your shop. I can buy boxes off of you and we can just sit here and break and I'll give you, you know, well, we could split the profits or whatever. I yeah. can give you a cut and I'll buy the product from you. And then, you know, since you're giving me, you know, availability of products or maybe we can work out a pricing deal or something like that. And he said, and I'll never forget this, breaking is a fad and it'll never last.
Wow.
And that was it. I said, oh, okay. And, you know, I said, you're absolutely sure. Like, you don't want to work out some kind of a deal or a promotion or anything at all. And he said, no, I don't want anything to do with this. And that was it. Wow.
And where is he today?
I have absolutely no idea.
Right. Yeah.
He was a decent guy. And him and his wife ran the shop. The last time we were in North Cape May, the shop wasn't that storefront was not there. It's a liquor store now. But I don't know. I have no idea whatever happened to him. I'd be interested to know. I hope he's doing well.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And that's that closed-mindedness will not get you very far in business, right? You got to be open, especially if you're going to just sit in his store and pay him money as you break cars where he's not going to be making money anyways. I mean, right.
So, we're talking
because he didn't like money.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking 2012, like stuff wasn't exactly, you know, flying off a shelf.
Right.
Funny thing but is,
those, that you know, really, those things you use as motivation though, too. Right. I mean, it's like absolutely. It kind of, cause I have a story of a well-known card shop owner in this area. And he's actually a friend of mine now. And I bring it up with him and I joke, but I was going in, I was still working in my day job, which was S&G. I was selling carpet and I would go into the distributor on release days and pick up my like six boxes or my case or whatever. And he saw me and they introduced me to him and he's like, he's a box breaker. And he looked at me and he goes, what do you do for your real job? And I was like, what? You mean I can't do this for a real job? You know? And I'm like, well, I do
not, work for it.
He was right.
Yeah.
You know?
Not so back
it was viewed as a fad. It was a fad.
I mean, that's I'm sure there's still a small percentage of shop owners and collectors and people out there that still think that way, that, you know, that it's a problem, or that it's this, you know, this thing that needs to go away or whatever it might be. But, you know, I think, you know, we've been really persistent over the years and going to industry summit after summit and conference after conference, and really pushing to try to be at the forefront of the industry for years and years. And as we all know, I mean, you guys and us and a handful of other breakers out there that have been through it since 2011, 2012, we all got pretty bloody being first to go through that wall.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we all did. We all took, I mean, we still do to some degree, but we all took a lot of heat, and we took a lot of negativity, and we took a lot of naysaying for a long time. It wasn't just until, I mean, you were there. It wasn't just until one of the 2019 or 2020 TOPS industry conference, where on the main screen at the beginning of the show, it said case breakers.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, they never recognized it until
I remember mentioning that to you. I was like,
right,
holy crap. Right. Like, we're like, I guess we're for real now. You know what I mean? That was just recently. That's only a couple of years old.
Right.
After breaking for like 7-8 years straight, you know?
Well, and you see me sometimes fight this battle, but I feel like the rhetoric has kind of gone away, which is, you know, like where the shop is like complaining about their allocation, and the reason why they don't get allocation is for because of a case breaker. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's just like just throwing shade and at a segment of people that are hustling. It's not like the case breaker was just given an allocation of product. It was like, no, they spent money and they were loyal and they spent money over a period of time. That's why they get that allocation that might be more than yours. So, right. You know, and I don't see that rhetoric as much anymore. It used to be like always blaming the case breakers, but I'd say over the last like year or so, I haven't seen that in a while. So maybe it's finally coming around. We're working together, you know?
Well, I mean, if you look at the overall scope of what's going on in the industry right now, I mean, what they don't tend to pay attention to is the fact that the other very large shops are also crushing it right now.
Right, exactly.
They're crushing it, and they're doing better than they have in many, many years. They're not complaining about breakers, but there are, you know, there's always just going to be a number of people that, you know, in any industry, not just this industry, that they want to find somebody to blame for their problems, and you know, maybe they just... it's hard for them to gain the motivation to get out there and try to find different, you know, ways of progressing or getting better within their line of work. I mean, it's, you know how it is, man. It's a tough world, and it is dog eat dog. And if, you know, you don't have that competitive edge, sometimes you can get swallowed up pretty quick.
Yeah. And I mean, I think I can agree, and I'm sure you can agree here, that, you know, the distributors we work with, I don't think anybody is given an allocation that they don't deserve. Right. I mean, it's all based on, you know, and I know guys say, hey, I've been doing business for 30 years. You should take that into consideration. But it's, you know, it's all about what you spend now. And if you earn what you get, you're breaking it. You're spending the money. You're getting what you get, and you're keeping your customers happy. And that's the one way to kind of move up. And like I said, there's not somebody that just started in their mom's basement. I mean, if we had somebody like Mark Wahlberg, obviously that would be the easiest thing, to just give him like 100 cases for Card Boys. Right. That he didn't get anything. He's not doing breaks. They're not doing breaks, right? So it's like, whoever you are doesn't really matter. It's the amount of spend you have with distributors.
Sure. So. And I mean, it's not just the spend, but it's. I mean, I'm getting cut on products all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think it's not only the spend, but it's you know, your ability to have multiple connections in the industry that you can trust and that trust you. That you've done business with before, that are willing to, you know, I mean, you've got to have connections besides just one or two distributors, at least to be at a larger level. You really do. Even at smaller levels, the more people and ways you have of getting product, the better off you're always going to be.
And I think the number one thing is passion. If you have the passion to push through and get more product, you will make it happen. You will get the products that your customers want. So let's go back to the beginning again. When you guys first started breaking, were you only doing baseball and football? How long did it take you to do like other sports?
That's a good question. We mainly did only baseball and football in the beginning. We started to delve into basketball probably a year into breaking, if I remember correctly. 2013-14 prison basketball, I think, was the first one. No, we did do some 12-13 prison basketball, yep. But it wasn't much.
Right.
I mean, we were brand new still. I have old videos of me just blasting through hobby boxes of 12-13 prison.
Yeah.
This is my LeBron base cards, like they're nothing. And, you know, silvers of good players. I'm like, oh, that's a silver Kyrie. Cool card there for Cleveland. And just,
I don't even think we called it silver back then, though. I think it was just like a refractor.
I think I used a refractor. Yeah.
Yeah. Because we didn't, you know, we came from the top.
Which it's never been referred to. It's never been a refractor.
Right.
It's always been a prism.
Right.
But I would still, out of habit, I would say refractor. I still do. I think
I do too. Yeah, I'm like, that's a Kobe refractor, or, you know, well, Kobe, that'd be top scrolling, but that's a Kyrie refractor, you know. Right. What was, if you can remember off the top of your head, when you're, what is the worst name to pronounce in all of sports cards?
Man, I've butchered, so I still butcher some.
Oh, yeah.
Nowadays, I think the toughest ones are all in soccer.
Have you done Chronicles yet, personally?
Not myself, but I've listened to Forrest and Brad ripping Chronicles, and it is tough.
It's tough.
I mean, they're butchering some of the names, man. I'm just cracking up watching the feed. It's entertaining. I mean, it's actually funny. And we always have those handful of guys in chat that want to chime in and like, no, you say it like this, which is, it's, believe it or not, is a huge help sometimes.
Yeah, it's welcomed. I have a guy that totally does phonetics for us, and I love it, you know. Yep.
Totally welcome. I mean, there's playoff basketball on TV, what, two games tonight? There's NHL playoffs going on right now that we have to watch, or we have to watch highlights of, to know what's going on, right?
Yep.
There is baseball heading right into the All-Star break. We're almost at the halfway point, right? Another month. And football just started training camp.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's a lot of sports going on.
That in itself is really hard to keep up with.
Well, it's, and then add in the two soccer tournaments that are this
month.
That's
what I'm getting at, is that now – you have F1, which I now watch bi-weekly, or at least weekly. Usually races are like 2 weeks apart. Sometimes they're back-to-back or whatever. It all depends on the schedule. So now I'm watching F1. I have to watch soccer highlights and watch to see what the scores are and see what's going on in tournaments and leagues and everything else. It's getting pretty hard to keep up with everything.
It's funny. You get those, and I'm sure you guys get those comments like, don't break it if you don't know it. It's like,
right.
Come on, man. There's so much to it's hard, man. I mean,
we wouldn't
break it. And it's the person that doesn't buy in either. It's not even a person that's in the break that's saying that. So it's funny.
It never is. No. Usually it's the outside looking in, and they don't understand that we have, you know, a really large amount of customers, and we're just doing what they want us to do. Plain and simple. Our customers dictate pretty much everything that we break. Obviously, we're going to do all the new stuff, but if they want more of a certain product, I'll go out and get it and we'll break it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the name that comes to my mind is Dustin Byfuglian, which is pronounced Bufflin, which is pronounced Bufflin, which nobody in their right mind that's ever never heard of that guy that's seen that name would say Bufflin. So
yeah, that's a tough one. What is it? Kokaniemi? He's another one.
Yeah.
When somebody phonetically told Brad on the feed how to say that, they spelled Cow Cat Miami. So now whenever he pulls his card, he goes, there goes Cow Cat Miami.
That sounds pretty good, though. I like that.
It's pretty close.
Yeah. Say a little faster together, right?
We used to say Giannis Antetokounmpo. How did we say it? Giannis Antetokounmpo. That's how we said it.
Tough one. Instead Tua Tagovailoa. That one's tough.
Brad calls him Tuna. I don't know why.
Hey, Dolphin. I mean, hey.
Yeah, Dolphin. So. Man, there's been some great ones over the years. But, yeah, they're usually – some of the soccer names are really tough. But we like
– I learned from Ryan Holland that it was not Willie Adams anymore. And you had basically told him – Yeah. And he related to me. So, hey, it worked out.
That's a funny story. That was, I had actually not, I don't believe I previously met those guys. And this is at, man, I want to say this was in Cleveland at a national, mm-hmm. I know, 2016, 2017.
They painted the picture well. They said he had Larry Bird socks and everything. I mean, it was, man, when he tells the story, they paints it really well.
Yeah, I left a good I left a long lasting impression on him.
But hey, and then secretly when he was telling me the story, I was like, "Oh, it's Adamus," and I didn't say, you know, I'm like, "Oh, I haven't seen him."
yeah, I mean, I was just walking by their booth, minding my own business, and I just heard him call it out loudly, and it was an after hours break, so there's nobody around. And it's the only thing being said in this general area. And it just occurred to me that, you know, I was like, man, I think he's saying that wrong. So I said it. And he was like, oh, thanks, man. You know?
Yeah. Nice.
I'm like, it's trying to help.
Yeah. Hey, appreciate it.
This big jerk, you know? Like, who does this guy think he is, you know?
He must not be a Boston Celtic fan. And
I'm a big fan of those guys. They do a good job. So.
No, they are awesome.
I'm glad we became friends, but that was a good first impression.
Yeah, absolutely. They're one of the better guys in this industry for sure. And a fellow Tesla fan, can't go wrong with that. So, what's your favorite, if you could only break one product forever, like one product line, what is your favorite product personally to break?
It's gotta be Transcendent.
Yeah.
It has to be. I mean, in the beginning, Transcendent was just in a world of its own. Now that we've done it for, 5 years now, 2016 was the first year. There's been a couple products that I think that we probably could have done without, or at least done with a different version of it, mm-hmm. per se. I've had extensive, I mean, as you well know, we try to break as much of that stuff as we can. We have a pretty large following for.
Yeah, I'm surprised they don't have your name on the sell sheet somehow when it comes out every year.
we just have a lot of people, a lot of customers, a lot of collectors and fans of our breaks that love that product.
Yeah.
And when it comes out, we tend to do a lot of it. So I've been speaking with Tops and I've been speaking with other people in the industry about how to try to make it better. I've been working on it slowly. That's a very large company with a lot of very big people in it and a lot of big decisions that they have to make. And I'm, you know, a very small fish in a very big pond. I'm just glad they take the time to listen to me, and hear me out about some different ideas like that. But I'd like it to be a little more, you know, hit driven rather than the base sets, rather than the sketch sets. This past Hall of Fame release had no base set, no sketch set.
Yeah.
That was huge.
So they started to change. I mean, the one thing, and I love Transcendent as well, is the like, what could be behind this foam? What's this cut auto, right? What's the super fractor? And you know that when you sit down to break it, you're going to have something that's big, right? You're going to have something in there to talk about rather than you're doing like select football. You may not get anything good to talk about, but you know, in Transcendent, there's going to be something to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, you can, because of the way it's designed, you can have like a nice long build up to the big hits at the end. You could do it the other way around too. You could always just
right away. Yeah.
You could do the big hits in the beginning. And then, you know, do the autograph set at the end. However you want to skin that cat, you know, but, that's gotta be way up there. Besides Transcendent, I'd have to say it's gotta be either Flawless or Triple Threads. I'm totally spoiled as a breaker, man. If you asked me 5, 6, 7 years ago what my favorite product would be, it'd probably be, you know, Bowman.
Yeah.
Honestly, like Bowman Jumbo or something, you know. I still like ripping it for myself once in a while. But you know, you get pretty spoiled when you're ripping high-end product after high-end product.
What's the last box you opened for yourself? He's got an excellent. Nice. Okay. Nice. Yeah. You get a Louis Hamilton?
I got a few base of him. I did get card number 1 out of the box, the base.
Nice.
not the refractor. I did get an auto. No, I didn't. I got a red.
Ooh, okay.
I got a red Daniel Ricciardo, red wave, numbered 3 of 5 out of that box.
Is that
box.
The Australian guy? It is, right? Nice. That's sweet. Red wave.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was an awesome box. I was thrilled. I've totally been converted into a huge F1 fan. I'm still kind of a NASCAR fan. I don't follow it very closely like I used to years ago. Mm-hmm. My dad, before he passed away, he used to take me to NASCAR events all the time. Sweet. So yeah, I mean, we had a great time. It was a lot of fun. But now, with the emergence of F1 cards and Topps producing them, huge fan of F1 now.
It's crazy. I just pulled, I haven't done too many of them, but I did a couple breaks on stream and I pulled the Hamilton variation. Right. And I'm like, oh, sweet. It's gotta be worth, a couple $100. It looks like $2,500 is the last one sold for. And it's just like, what the hell? My mind blown. Right.
It's a very similar market to soccer. Mm-hmm. Two very much parallel each other in terms of, global reach. This is a really, really, really big sport overseas, in Europe and pieces of, I mean, they race all over the place. They're a traveling circus, essentially. These guys
race in some of the most beautiful countries, like with the scenery and stuff. It's phenomenal.
They just had the race in Monaco a couple weeks ago. That was, it was mind blowing watching like people kind of sitting on the, the deck of their home or their condo that was overlooking the race. Like it was
right.
It's just incredible. They're going to have, they have a race in the United States in Austin and now they're adding a race in Miami.
Wow. Which
I'm really excited about being here in Florida. I mean, that would be awesome to see.
Nice. Try to do Disney World and the race all in one weekend. That's in one week.
Yeah. Yeah.
So not a weekend wouldn't be enough.
No, not even close. Disney's like you gotta have 4 or 5 days. You have to. I mean, you can do it. Right, you can do three, you can do the major parks like one day each and you're okay. But I mean, to thoroughly see everything and do everything. Yeah. That's a 1 week trip, man.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of breaking, what's the biggest piece of advice you can give to aspiring breakers?
That's a tough one. I'd say probably once a day a few times a week in that, range. I get an email from somebody new, whether it be a customer of ours that's a current customer or someone who used to be a customer of ours or a customer of yours or a customer of another breaker. Usually it starts just like the way we started. Somebody watches breaks, gets into it, and they're like, you know what? This is something I could do, just like I told you earlier. And they're inspired by it. And it's freaking awesome. I love that we're able to inspire people to do something that they think that they would love and enjoy. Mm-hmm. And that means the world to us. And it's really, really cool. And I try to keep them kind of steered on the right path. The number one thing I usually tell them is stay small. Stay simple. Keep it simple. Keep it small. Don't get too big for your britches too quickly.
Don't try to do 10 breaks in one day, right? When you're first
trying to do even more than one break in one day.
Right.
Keep it one. There's so much more than, as you well know, than just the opening of the cards. You need an efficient way to sort the cards, an efficient way to protect the cards, and an efficient way to mail the cards very safely. There are ways of shipping cards, as you well know, that are horrible and not. Mm-hmm. So you have to figure out the way that works for you that keeps the card safe, but you're not spending 2 hours per package preparing it. It takes a lot of work and a lot of determination and so many hours. So if you have the time, especially during the pandemic, which I think is why we had
a lot of people popped up. Yep.
So many new breakers popped up. So many, a lot of them doing retail. There are a couple of breakers that are pretty new that are already, they're getting into more of the hobby products and everything else. And it's great to see. Good for them. They're working really hard. They're trying to build up allocations. They're trying to earn their way in the hobby. And, you know, I wish them all the best. But
And the bottom line, we need people to rip product because there's a segment of people that hold product. If the product's held, it's not good. You got to have it ripped, you know, for the whole bio system of this hobby. The product needs to be gone.
Yeah. You know,
and that's where breakers come in.
Yeah. I mean, we want people not only buying into breaks, but just buying boxes from their local card shops and buying boxes. I mean, from websites that they trust and different internet retailers and, you know, even off of eBay and Amazon and everywhere they, you know, they feel comfortable and a trusted source of where they can get their products from. Boxes are meant to be open, man. And the more that get open, the harder it is to get the products and the more the singles are going to go up. It's the driving force behind our industry. In terms of getting product open, sealed wax is sealed wax and it's great. There's people that like to collect it, the prospect on it, but without the product being open, there's no singles on the market to dictate whether the product is good or not.
Exactly. Know? And people using break videos to determine if they want to go into that local card store and buy the box, right? Maybe that's not for me. It doesn't have as many autographs, or maybe it has too many parallels, and that's not my cup tea. I mean, let's face it. We have so many. I mean, each year of products has 50, 60 different products. So, you know, there's something for everybody if you're a football fan, baseball fan, basketball fan. I think the biggest thing that I see out there, and correct me if I'm wrong here, is that I think when you're starting out, you need to figure out a way to fill the break up as fast as possible. And I don't know what kind of formula that is, but I see people that help hold people's money for longer than a day.
Yeah.
And we're in the Amazon world now, right? You're ordering something, you're getting it next day to your door. So nobody wants to give somebody $15 for a team and then wait 2 weeks before it breaks. So, I don't know the exact formula other than being on social media and trying to connect with people, but you got to fill the breaks as fast as possible. That's just the biggest key for me when it comes to a marketing aspect.
Absolutely. And I mean, in the beginning, especially like I told you before, when we first started, we were giving away spots left and right just for people. We used to give away spots to people for coming into our chat room. That's all you had to do. Just show up in our chat room. Hey, you got a spot in this break. Hang out and watch it with us.
Yep.
And that person would then subscribe and so on and so forth. We would ship their cards. And then inside of the shipment, we'd give a business card, or sometimes we'd leave a note in the very beginning. We'd leave a note and, you know, tell them, you know, thank you so much for your purchase. Make sure you follow us and do this and do that. If you have any questions, please feel free to reach out.
Yep.
That, you know, I mean, that would turn into more business for us. It turned into a trust level between myself and all the new people and the customers and people finding us in the chat rooms and everything. You gotta be prepared to not make any money for a long time. It's not about making money, especially when you're very first starting out. You can't look at it that way. It's about building your brand, building a clientele, building a trust level,
reinvesting in yourself.
Yeah, a lot of investing into just like the way you do breaks, your equipment, investing your time, investing your energy. You know, as a lot of breakers out there can all relate to it. There's just so much more than opening cards that goes into what we do.
Yeah, I don't think we actually took any money out of the business for like at least 3 years for us. I didn't get myself a paycheck for like 2 or 3 years. And even then, very minimal. It was just enough to make sure bills were paid, I think that's key in doing that. Not like you sold out a flawless break and you made $5,000. It's time to hit the club. It just doesn't work that way, right? Keep that in the bank. And when another opportunity comes to buy another flawless case, you buy another flawless case and you keep your customers happy. I think with us, we started on eBay and eBay kind of went to crap after a while, and now there's a lot of breakers back on eBay, but we took those emails from eBay, you know, and which I think you have to have people okay to be on your mailing list now, but it was a little different then. So we would send out emails when we were trying to fill a break, and we'd say, we have 11 teams left, here's the 11 teams, make us offers. The more teams you take, the more likely your offer will be accepted. So it was just like, you know, like continuing to try to grind on those teams. And you know, there'd be people that'd be like, I'll take all the 10 of these teams for $100. Be like, sure. you know, just to get the, I mean, let's just get it going, right? Let's get this break going. Let's get this break filled. Yeah. And you gotta fill it at all costs. I think that's the biggest piece of advice.
Yeah. I mean, if everybody came onto our channel tonight, we'll just say, for instance, and we had all the spots left for all the breaks. I mean, we probably wouldn't get half of those breaks complete in one night. Probably. Maybe. Right. Maybe. I don't know. Right. But the reason, I mean, when we got to a certain level, probably what, 2016, 2017, probably? I'd say even until 2017. I remember sitting on the feed until 3, 4, 5 in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
In the shop for 14, 15 hours that day. And I'm sitting there begging and pleading people to, you know, buy a spot. It's 50% off.
Sleep.
I'm trying everything I could. Guys, if you buy this spot, I'll give you a free spot in this one tomorrow. I did everything I could to get people to join in and enjoy a break with us. You know, to a certain degree, we were giving stuff away. We were doing everything we could, attaching promo packs or different promos to just selling out one break. We would give away a jersey or whatever. Probably gave away about 500 Todd Gurley autographed jerseys over the years. Mm-hmm. it's unbelievable, man.
Man, Todd Gurley signed a lot.
There's distributors that would, you know, they would sell you a case of product if you, you know, or and you would get a Todd Gurley jersey or whatever. Man, we had so many damn Todd Gurley jerseys. I felt like every break we were giving away a Todd Gurley jersey. It was so fun.
Yeah, and you know what? It's funny. You definitely reminded me about those nights and the wife. Are you coming home? You know, no, I know. You know, I still got some spots left, right? You know, yeah. I mean, fortunately, we haven't had those kind of nights in a while, and I'm sure you can attest to that. But it does really, you really appreciate those people that stuck with you in those times and are like, I'll take another team. And you know, we're all, you know, let's get this thing filled up. I'll buy these 5 spots. And, you know, but, you know, the key is just staying on that feed and just, you can't like go, I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, when people are sitting there, they're all waiting for you to break it. They've already put their money in. You can't let them down either. You know what I mean? And that's what's a bit great about the community.
There's a lot of breakers out there that don't understand what it's like for the hobby to not be scorching hot.
Right.
I mean, if you entered this hobby within the last 2 years, you don't understand what it's like to not be able to fill a break.
Right.
At least on a regular basis.
Sure.
You know, I mean, we used to struggle to fill $20, $30, $40 breaks.
Yep.
That was a normal thing. Like, there were only a couple of guys back then that were consistently filling breaks, but that's because they had been doing it for so long. They had done the work. They put in the time already. You know, and we were still earning our chops, you know, we were still learning our way and kind of building up, you know, the followings and everything. There's a ton of people out there that don't realize like what it's like to work on 5 and 10% margins. That was the norm.
Or negative 5 or 10% margins.
Or negative 20, or negative 50. Yeah. In 2013 Topps Chrome Football, I mean, losing, literally getting your delivery in the mail and knowing already that you were down 30-40% off your investment with no money in the bank. You know what I mean? And just trying to figure out what you're going to do.
Using products as marketing tools to hopefully give somebody such a good deal that they'll come back and buy something else and just lose money on tons of cases, right? Yeah. One last story I wanted to get into before we let you go is kind of what I guess you could say it solidified our friendship, but you know, you brought this up through text. I thought it'd be a funny story to talk about. So I'll set the stage. I believe it was a 2013 industry summit. And for some reason we thought it would be a great idea for us to get a booth there for $4,000, which was a lot at the time. I mean, $4,000 was like probably all we had. We're like, we're going to set up and we're going to break at the summit. And they think about it now, like, why would we break for shops? Like, what's this doing to us? Nobody's going to buy any of these breaks. But we thought, hey, maybe this would help us network and cement our breaking, you know, what we do for breaks, right? So we were helping out Kevin, who is the runner, who is running the summit. And he said, how do we sell these cases? So we were doing some, I believe it was for charity, for sponsorships for the summit, there was some case breaks that basically Panini and GTS had donated. And then the money spent from dealers into these case breaks gets funneled into basically, you know, have more people come to the summit and give more scholarships for shops that maybe can't afford the summit. So we have like 8 breaks we have to do. So he's like, hey, how should we sell this? And we're like, hey, why don't you sell it through our website? We'll give you all the money. It'll just be easier to send dealers to our e-commerce website and they'll be able to buy the spots. So we sold out about half the spots before the summit happened. We asked, hey, how do you want to sell the rest of the spots? I'll sell them at the door. We're like, okay, you sell them at the door, Kevin. So we go to start performing these breaks and we realize that whoever was selling the spots at the door had completely oversold and overbooked everything. And it was just an absolute nightmare. So we're performing these breaks. And this is actually a couple nights in Vegas. You know, you're tired. You've had maybe a few too many, going to bed at 2 or 3 in the morning, trying to win some money on slots. And people are telling us that we are just pieces of crap. We ruined their trip. and it's just like ghosts in a headlight. It was one of those moments in my life that I just wanted to run. I just wanted to turn. There was 50 people at our booth watching these breaks, hoping for some cards. And I just wanted to literally like just run away and drink more beer. and you guys stepped in and helped us sort and helped us get through this like event. And, I'm forever in debt for you for that. I mean, and that's kind of, as I say, that's kind of what, like, you know, you could have watched as a competing business. You could have just like went like, let me watch these guys fail because they're obviously failing in front of everybody. And you guys didn't. You came in and you helped us out. So that was
absolutely pretty cool, man. There was no choice. I saw what was going on, and I thought to myself, and I remember talking to Sarah about it. You know, she was there with us, we felt horrible. First off, we saw the look in Dan's eyes. And he was legitimately on the verge of tears.
He was actually handing out refunds through our PayPal. Right. And I think it was one of those things where PayPal wasn't working at the same time too. So he had like, there was a lady and I can't remember her name, but I think she follows me now, which is even funnier, is that she was the one that she said, for one, I thought these cases were loaded from Panini, like loaded. And for two, you ruined my trip. I could have been doing something else for this last 3 hours.
I remember that so well.
And I think that's what Dan was just like, all the color came out of his face. And
he said, I want to go home. He looked me dead in the eye. Looked me dead in the eye and said, Rich, I want to go home. I'm like, Dan, we gotta hang here and get this done, man. We're gonna struggle through it and we're gonna get it done. I said, I'll be right back. You know, we were finishing up something or other, and they had basically cleared the room at that point, and you were allowed to like start breaking your stuff down. And you guys had all those cards sitting there and you didn't know where like half of them were going. Like you're like, this could be, I don't know where this goes and this goes. And
because you don't know, there's two people saying they have the team. Like exactly. I bought the Colts.
Exactly.
No, I bought the Colts. And you're like, well, you know, and this was all because the person at the door. Out the
logistics of what card went where and to whom.
Yeah.
So while you were doing that, you still had people wanted their cards right away.
Right. So of course.
All these people lined up to get the cards, and there was just cards everywhere. They weren't sorted. They weren't, nothing was done.
So, well, because on top of that, they gave us 8 breaks to do in like 3 hours or something like that. And there was a lot of base heavy breaks. And then we were getting pressure to say, like, you need to hurry up. And then, amongst all of that, there's like, hurry up and finish this. But then we don't even know what's right and what's wrong. And it's just like, and people are just beaming on you. Right. And we're coming from doing breaks where you're looking at a camera and you're not dealing with people in person. Now you've got like 50 to 100 people around you watching you break. Obviously, probably feel like they're criticizing you because they could probably feel like they do it better. Right. Yeah. And then you screw up and it's like, you know, and I'm not saying that we screwed up. I think there was a lack of a communication at the front door person. Yeah. But man, that was that's why I was so, and you guys stepped in and helped us out. That was huge, man.
Yeah. Well, listen, man. I mean, that's, you know, I'm sure that scored me a couple brownie points, and I'm sure I've used them up by now. So, you know, there were a few times, you know, while we were going through some growing pains and learning how to kind of, you know, get by in this industry. There were a few times that we were in a bad way. you know, I wasn't sure how to handle a situation, or, you know, we screwed up and I didn't know how to make it right. Or if, you know, we had a customer that was unhappy with us or with unhappy with this or that, even just down to like, you know, shipping programs to use and like how to hook stuff up and how to work something on WooCommerce or, you know, pricing of a team or pricing of a product or whatever it might have been. You guys have always been there for us, man. And, you know, next time you're in the weeds and you're at a big summit or a convention like that, I'll send somebody over to help you.
Yeah. Likewise, man. Yeah, well, before we go, I wanted to talk about something that's really cool that you guys got going on. It's a Facebook group called Women in Carts. So tell us a little bit more about that and how, you know, women that collect carts can be part of this.
Sarah, my wife, who's kind of been somewhat forced into the industry over the years. she is the best. And without her, Leighton Sports Cards doesn't, you know, it just doesn't exist at this point. She's been just an absolute monster in terms of handling things behind the scenes and making sure things get done. But she's learned a lot during that process. And she started a Facebook group privately for women that are in the industry or in collecting. They don't have to be, you know, actually in the industry job wise or anything like that, but it's for just a safe place for female collectors to go, awesome. Share their experiences with each other. They promote different events or things that are, you know, that women feel safe talking about and going to. I mean, let's face it, this is very much a male dominated industry. I've been doing my best for as long as I can remember to try to be as inclusive as we can. It's been a super important part of even why we do what we do at this point. We want to involve more people, you know, across obviously all walks of life, awesome. Women, yeah. men, everybody. Everybody out there could have something to contribute to our hobby and to our industry. I think for the longest time, it had this stigma that it was just a male only club.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and it still does in some circles, and it's frustrating to see. And it's frustrating to see my wife, you know, have to see I hear stories all the time from that group, and, you know, it's sad.
It's a sad where a few individuals act when it comes to like somebody wants to talk about cards and then the replies that you get, right? It's just, you know, come on. So I think there's a great there's a woman's podcast out. I think Suze is doing a series of women in collecting podcasts, I believe.
There's a woman on YouTube. Her name is I want to say it's She Collects Cards. And she's awesome. She puts out some great content. We've been watching her YouTube channel for a while. She has a podcast that is also a woman, you know, women in the industry podcast. So it's just awesome to see more diversity and more awareness of the diversity in our industry going on these days with YouTube channels, Facebook groups, and everything else. So yeah, if there's any female collectors or female people in the industry that work within our industry or have something card related that they can relate to, they can look up the Facebook group Women in Cards and request to join. And like I said, Sarah's one of the founding members of it, and I believe Ty from the Bullpen. She's also
great.
Ty's awesome. She's the best. And Mitch out there at the Bullpen, good friends of ours. And they've created kind of a safe place for them to go where they can trade and talk and do whatever, you know, and kind of get to know one another and have some inclusion within the industry in a safe space, you know.
That's awesome. All right. Before we let you go, people can find you at LeightonSportsCards.com for the breaks. And then your Twitter and your Instagram. Is that RichLeighton42, if I remember correctly?
Twitter is at Leighton Sports, Instagram is Leighton Sports Cards.
There you go. See, I remember the old one.
Just cracked 40,000 subs on YouTube.
Nice. That's big, man. That's huge. Congrats on that.
That is absolutely bananas. Yeah. You know, it's totally a flattering thing. And, you know, we can't wait to keep growing. And, obviously without guys like you and, all the other guys I mentioned earlier, you know, we don't exist. So all the props belong to you guys. And, you know, we wouldn't be here without you.
Well, it's good to hear, man. Well, this is a fun conversation. We need to do this more often. Can't wait to see you guys at the National too, man.
Yeah.
We'll have one, two, or three. I mean, we'll have Double Down Dan in the house, and we'll have we'll have some fun, man.
Yeah, I can't wait, bud. And make sure you say hi to the family and everybody over there in the Mojo crew. And I can't wait to see you guys, man.